Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learnt it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased praying to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. We're in our series, Blood, Sweat, and Cheers. And we're just going to be here just for the next 2 weeks as this heads us and leads us into our AGM Sunday. But I wonder, have any of you ever wondered where the phrase blood, sweat, and tears comes from? Now, there's a couple different opinions and potential sources where the phrase comes from, but according to most recent and popular history, it actually comes from a speech that was given right at the beginning of World War II. Does anybody want to guess who gave that speech? I'm looking at you, Richard, because I have a feeling you know this one. Absolutely, Winston Churchill. Winston Churchill, when he was addressing the House of Commons on May the 10th, 1940, he actually said, "I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." And we know that he went on to be one of the most influential leaders in turning World War II around. And so the phrase has become something that we use when we're referring to something that is difficult or something that is going to take significant effort or be of significant cost. And what we have just read is the start of a letter where Paul, for us today, is not so much giving a one-off speech for a vote of confidence, which is what Churchill did. But what we have today is a truth. What we have today is an encouragement for the whole church, for all of us, even in 2022, Perth, Western Australia. So is there blood involved? Yes. Is there sweat and toil when it comes to the church? You know this, of course. Are there tears? Unfortunately, sometimes. But there are also cheers. Times of joy as we journey together as a church. And so for the next 2 weeks, our goal is to ask God through his word, the time that we gather together, and as we're going to see, even in sharing stories of his goodness, to help us have a better understanding of who we are and how we should live as individuals and as the church. And I'm going to tell you right from the outset this morning that I only really have one thing to say, one point. But before you get too excited, there are three sub-points to this one point. And so you might say, well, Dan, why not just say there's 3 points today? The reason is this. I want us to go out of our time today into the week and then into our AGM celebration Sunday thinking about and reflecting and doing this one thing. It is this, to look at what God has done. That's what we're going to do. We're going to look at what God has done. And I want you as individuals and as a church to look at what God has done. And the very first thing I want you to encourage you to do as you look at what God has done is to be thankful. That's the first thing that we're going to see as you look back into this passage. So look back with me at verse 3. So Paul's writing this letter. He's just given his greeting. He gets to verse 3. What's the first thing he says? We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since, and then he's going to go on. But this is so classic Paul. This is so classic Paul. As he starts out his letter, he's about to get to talking about how they should live, how they should be, how they should exist, how they should resist false teaching. But the very first thing he does is before he gets into that, he says, when we pray for you, which we always do, we thank God for you. Which they would, you know, if he said that to us, to me, I would be like, thanks, Paul. That's great. That's awesome. But he doesn't leave it there. He says, since there's something to come. So why is there a since? Because he's encouraging and reminding them why there is reason to give thanks. Why he's giving thanks. There's a since because of what they are actually doing. And so look how he carries on. We heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up in heaven for you. He's saying to them, you have this heaven-fueled faith in Christ and a heaven-fueled love for each other. And if that's not reason to give thanks, First Bible Church of Colossae, then I don't know what is. But let's quickly just turn it back on us here at North Coast Church. Is this reason for us to give thanks? These two things, faith in Christ and love for all the saints because of hope laid up in heaven for us. I hope it is. I think it is. In fact, we spent 5 weeks in 1 Peter considering the fact that, yes, we as Christians are exiles in this world, but what? We have a hope. We have a citizenship in heaven. And as I talk with some of you, as I see you interacting, as I watch you serve, as we hear stories of God's faithfulness in and through this church, I'm pretty confident that this is reason for us today to stop and to pause, to look at what God has done. Even if we were to do it right now and look across the room, somehow look through that wall, somehow look a little bit into the future of Winterfest, AGM Sunday, Magnify, marriage workshops, think back just a week to Gospel Man and Youth on Friday Night and Pipeline. Faith in Christ and love for all the saints because of a heaven-fueled citizenship. Be thankful. But there's more to be thankful for. Look what he says next. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth. And so Paul's saying, the reason that you have this hope is because of what? The gospel. God's word which you've heard, which you've understood, which now continues to bear fruit. And friends, this morning, we have received the same thing, the gospel, God's word, his word in truth. And as I've just said, and as you know, we have experienced and seen life-changing, fruit-bearing results. Next week at AGM Sunday, what we're going to do up on the stage is hopefully something a little bit different, but definitely something that is intentionally designed to fan into flame and kickstart a movement amongst us as a church that says, look at what God has done. And we'll be doing that by sharing stories. We'll have a bunch of the staff up on the stage, and they'll be talking about your ministry areas and the things that God has done and is doing in and through this church. And let me just tell you now, and you know this, there are so many reasons for us to be thankful as gospel fruit shows up in just about every single corner and aspect of ministry here at North Coast Church. In fact, I want to just quickly try to encourage you today with a quick story. Myself and Paul and Martin, our business manager, and Graham Cox, our new treasurer, we, about four weeks ago, we got on a Zoom call with a guy from the States called Greg Gibbs. Greg's a really good friend of mine, good family friend, and he works for an organization called Oxano. which is a massive church consulting company. And he works specifically in the finance area. He's also a pastor in a church in California. And we were just sitting with him, and we were trying to pick his brain and get wisdom from him as a pastor, as a church leader, as someone who does this all the time for churches all over the world, specifically in the area of finance and how we continue to move forward. And so we kind of laid out, this is where we've been as a church. We kind of gave him the 20-minute history. I've shared a little bit of details as well with him, so he's got a bit of an understanding. We kind of said, this is where we are as a church. This is who we are. This is how many people show up. This is what we're expecting to see at our AGM. And this is the kind of church that we want to be in. We kind of laid that out for him. And as we laid that out for him, and as he started just kind of gathering that information and getting a couple of years worth of information just downloaded instantly into his brain, he stopped, and then he got ready to download information onto us, to help us, to give us some practical things that we can be doing as a church together. But before he did that, as he paused, kind of like looked through the screen as almost if like looking to each one of us individually, and he said, we are so thankful for the work that you have done for the sake of Christ, for your faithfulness to the gospel, and for the fruit that is being produced as a result of what you are doing in Perth. Greg has never been to Perth. Greg has no idea who any of you are other than the four of us on Zoom. Greg knows very little of the state of the church in Australia. And yet, from the other side of the world, 15 hours behind, that's how far away he was, he recognizes that you, North Coast Church, is doing something significant for the cause of Christ. And he says, that is reason for me, and just what I've heard on this Zoom call, to give thanks to you. And if someone on the other side of the world has heard just a brief little bit of our history and where we are right now, and he's given thanks, friends, let me encourage you this morning to look at what God has done. To look and to be thankful. And I was thinking through this morning. I wrote next to my notes, and rejoice with an exclamation mark, which we are going to do as we spend time in communion in just a moment, and then we come back to worship together. That's why we're gathering next week for a celebration AGM. It's a different kind of AGM. It's a different kind of gathering. It is a celebration gathering as we have looked at what God has done, as we're thankful. But as we continue to be thankful, there's something else that pops up. We want to be thankful, but we also want to be intentional. Now, Paul has already told these guys that he prays for them, right? We've just seen it. He says that he prays for them. But now he tells them what he prays for them. And what he prays for them in the content of this prayer, we find words that are encouraging. But it's more than that, because as far as I can tell, these are the very words that we as a church and individuals should strive to live by every single day. So look with me back at verse 9. He says, and so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Think about this for a second. Isn't it so amazing as you read this and as we've just read the words before, that what Paul prays for them, what he says he continues to pray for them, is actually mirrored in what he's just said. It's mirrored in why he is thankful for them. Think about it. In the previous verses, there's the connection, right? Think about the connection between their faith in Christ and love for one another. And then what does he say he prays for them? Walking in a manner pleasing to the Lord. Or what about this? And think of their hearing and understanding the gospel. And he says, what does he pray for them? That they would increase in the knowledge of God. And he said, why else is he thankful for them? He says that there's this gospel fruit that has gone out. And what does he say that he continues to pray for them? Bearing in fruit in every good work. In other words, what is happening in this church is that they are putting into practice, they are living out the purpose and the mission that Paul encourages them to live out and to have. And I wonder, thinking back on me, and as you think about you, and as we think about we, when we get back to verse 9, how intentional we are in being filled with the knowledge, think about this, of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. How intentional are you in doing that? You might say, well, Dan, well, how do we do that? Well, we know it's through his word to us and through prayer. How intentional are we? You see, because when we pray together, as we just did with Al, or when you pray at home by yourself with your families, when we spend time together in God's word as we're doing now, or at home with a cup of tea first thing in the morning, we are asking God to reveal his will to us, to equip us with his wisdom, his understanding. And so I know you've heard this before, but when we are praying, when we are spending time in God's word, we aren't just ticking a box. What are we doing? We are asking God for knowledge, for his wisdom, for his understanding. And that all sounds very great. And that is good. And we should do that. But why? Is it just to know or just understand things? What is the purpose of doing that? Well, Paul says in verse 10, between 9 and 10, so as to, look with me at verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's why. Just stop for a second and imagine. If there was like, you know, a Sunday or a day in the year that we as a church came together to just kind of stop and assess where we are. Talk about the real business of the church. Just imagine if there was, you know, some day coming up that we would kind of look at ourselves and go, are we the church that we're meant to be? And are we living in a way that we are becoming the church that God wants us to become? Imagine if that was a thing that actually happened in the church. Or imagine if there was moments in your life where you were kind of taking stock, kind of looking to see if you were on track as a follower of Jesus. What would be the measure? What would be the benchmark to determine if we are going in the right direction? Well, I would suggest back in verse 10, possibly asking ourselves these questions. Are we actually walking in a manner worthy of the Lord? Are we actually walking in a manner worthy of the Lord? That is, do our actions please him? You can ask yourself that. Am I walking in a manner? Are we walking in a manner that's worthy of the Lord? Well, how would I know that? Easy. Do our actions please him? How would we know if our actions please the Lord? Well, Paul tells us, bearing in fruit and increasing in the knowledge of God. Is that true of North Coast? Is that true of you? Are we intentionally aligned with this mission, with this vision for the church? Are we actually, as to use Paul's word, are we actually walking, moving in the direction that God has laid out for us? Since Kirsten and I have been married, we've lived in a couple different cities. We've moved around the world a little bit. And every single city that I've moved into, after a couple weeks there's this game that I play. And the name of the game that I play is, I don't need a GPS anymore. I don't know if you've ever played the game before. I don't need a GPS anymore. And the way you play this game is very simple. Basically, all you need to play this game is a false sense of confidence. And so I remember specifically, we had moved from Durban cross country to Cape Town. The same thing happened in Melbourne. Same thing happened in Perth. But I got the sense, right? I don't need you anymore, GPS. I'm going to find my own way. And every single time I've played that game in a new city, I have failed. I am at 0 points. I've failed every single time. And I know I'm failing when a 5-minute journey turns into a 30-minute quest. And you're thinking, something's gone horribly wrong. And then finally, you humble yourself, you turn the GPS back on, and you realize, I'm not even in the same town. I don't even recognize the suburb. I'm literally facing in the opposite direction of where I'm trying to go. I know none of you have done that before, guys. So I'm just using that as a story from my life. But the reason I say that is this, and I've said this before from this platform, intention doesn't determine direction. I was trying to get from where I lived in Somerset West to Gordon's Bay. Should have been a 5 to 10 minute journey. Did I hear a what's up? Yeah? Gordon's Bay? No way. Really? Great. But it's about this big. Trying to get there. I had every intention of getting there. But when I realized I was halfway to Paul, which for those of you who know the Western Cape, that would be like me trying to get to Geraldton and I'm literally, you know, halfway down to Busselton. Doesn't matter how badly I wanted to be there. Didn't matter what my intention was. My intention didn't determine my direction. Here's what it is. Aligned intention determines your direction. And so, are we heading as a church and you as a follower of Jesus in the right direction? Well, how will you know? How will you know if your intentions are aligned with what they should be? We've already said it. Our actions are pleasing to him as we bear fruit and increase in the knowledge of God. That is what will keep our intention aligned and keep us on track. And so, again, church, look at what God has done. He has given us insight into the knowledge of his will. He has given us the ability to fill up on spiritual wisdom and understanding so as to what? Align our lives with his direction for us. And so, I've needed this, and I hope you're hearing me today. Be intentional in the way that you live as a follower of Jesus. But there is a problem to this. Because if you've been alive for more than 5 minutes, most of us, and if you've been a follower of Jesus for any amount of time, then you know that even the best aligned intentions at times start to stray. We start to lose direction. Or maybe you really have been on a true journey of blood, sweat, and tears, and there seems to be no cheer on the horizon. What then? What then as a follower of Jesus? What then if we find ourselves in a season of life like that as a church down the track? Well, we're going to, again, look at what God has done. We're going to be thankful, be intentional, and then we're going to be strengthened. And so again, look at me at verse 11. Very next words that he says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. And so Paul knows that walking in a manner worthy of the Lord will cost us something at times. In fact, he knows that it will take up sweat and toil. He literally uses that word, and we will look at that next week. And he's writing this letter to encourage a church that was under severe cultural pressure. And there was a chance that if they gave into that cultural pressure, they would turn away from Jesus. For him, the toil, for him, the sweat, for him, the pain, was that he was actually in prison for preaching Jesus as he wrote this letter. So what do we need? What does he say we need as we look at being strengthened? He says endurance and patience. Endurance and patience. 2 weeks ago, I brought to your attention a book by Sun Tzu, you know, thousands of year old wisdom. Today I'm bringing to your attention another book by a guy called Cam Haynes. It's called Endure. You probably won't find it at the resource points, and I don't think we should put it at the resource points. But I don't say that because I think it's a bad book. I say it because there's only so far that you can go with a book like this with human wisdom without opening the pages of the Bible. But Cam Haynes is known as one of the best elk bow hunters, in fact, the best bow hunter in the world. And to become the best bow hunter in the world, Cam Haynes has to be incredibly fit. He has to be incredibly strong. The kind of terrain that he's crossing and the amount of weight that he carries, he has to be prepared. And when he tells a story in this book, he talks about the kind of work that he puts in and the realization he had that to be the best, he had to train with the best. So he's trained with Olympic athletes and he's done everything he can to get to the top of his game. One of the things that he does is sets up these massive endurance races. The one that that kind of stands out is called the Moab 240. Does anybody want to guess how far you have to run to do the Moab 240? Any guesses? You guys are like, this is a trap. It is, because it's not 240 miles. It's 238.2 miles. And you can't call it the Moab 238.2. It just doesn't sound the same. But when you calculate that that is actually 383 kilometers and has a cutoff time of just over 4 days, you begin to realize that people that run this race aren't ordinary humans. In fact, there's probably something very wrong with them. Or they're at least the kind of people who write a book called Endure. When I need motivation to get my sorry butt into the gym, what do? Cameron Haynes on Instagram. And instantly I feel useless about myself, bag on the shoulders, and off I go. He's an absolute beast. And so he's written this book called Endure. And I just want to share just a very quick quote for you. Listen to this in terms of like human endurance and human motivation. He says this: I love the word endure. That's what life is all about. There are hard times. It's a long race. Sometimes it can feel like a battle. For those of us not born with greatness, greatness is easy to give up on. There are countless excuses that keep people from going after an extraordinary life. But when we take on the challenge of pushing our limitations, we no longer see our limitations as barriers, but as chances to work hard and buck the odds in order to live a life marked by passion, tenacity, focus, and resilience. You have to simply keep hammering. Let's go lift something heavy, right? Yeah. As far as human motivation and strength to endure goes, Cam Haynes, for me, is about as good as it gets. But we're not here to talk about Cam Haynes. Let's go back to God's word. What does Paul say in verse 11? As we're trying to be intentional, followers of Jesus, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. You see, the second we start relying on our strength, our skills, our will, our power, what are we doing when we do that? We are disconnecting ourselves and we are distancing ourselves from what? What has Paul just said? His, God's glorious might. I love Cam Haynes. I love his energy, but it's not about pushing our limitations. It's about relying on the might of God. And so, church, when you are slammed at work, and when your family's not quite where you want it to be, and you're just trying to hold it all together, in the back of your mind, you're going, what did Dan say? Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, and you feel like that is a pipe dream. I want to encourage you to stop and ask yourself, what is your source of strength? Where does my help come from? Here's what God says: I will strengthen you with my might. So put down endure and pick up my word. Because God wants to strengthen us, so that you can endure, that you can have patience through whatever season you find yourself in. And what about us as a church, as we continue to walk in a manner, trying to please the Lord? How are we going to patiently endure? Well, it's not about the size of our congregation, or the impressiveness of our building, or our history, our legacy, our intellect, our knowledge. It's not about any of those things. It's about asking God, would you strengthen us by your Spirit today as we get ready for church, as we get ready for Winterfest, as we get ready for AGM, to patiently endure the walk of lives that please you by your might. Earlier this week, I caught up with Jeff Hunt, who most of you know, as Al also prayed, has been nominated as our lead pastor and will be voting on this appointment next week. So again, if you're a member of this church, I will see you next week. I can't wait to hang out with you. But in my discussions with Jeff and as he's spoken with the staff, there have been so many things that have been encouraging as he kind of helps us look forward and continue with this enduring. And so I met up with him earlier in the week and we caught up and we had a camera there. And so I hope that what you see next is something that encourages you. So check out our conversation.
And Cheers, where we're looking at the foundation, the mission, and the joy of North Coast Church. And in the section that we're at in Colossians chapter 1, Paul tells the church that he's been praying for them. One of the things he says is that he's been praying that they would be strengthened with all power according to his God's glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. And then later, he talks about his toil for the sake of presenting everyone mature in Christ. And so I thought it would just be both helpful and encouraging to have you share with us, you know, your heart and your vision and your passion for us as North Coast as we continue in all endurance and patience and joy to make and mature disciples of Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that kind of perspective that Paul has, that he wants to present everyone mature in Christ, the vision he has is for the last day, people standing firm in the Lord all the way through till his return. And I think that's really the kind of the perspective that I want us to have as a church. Like, how will we go on living for the Lord, proclaiming him, standing firm in him, enduring through everything that comes at us faithfully as his people until that day when he returns? That's what I'm really excited about. And so, really excited to come and just build on what is already in place here at North Coast. I think when you start thinking about, okay, how are we as a church gonna endure and remain faithful to that day of Jesus' return? A few kind of priorities just start to bubble up. Yeah. I think one is just like gospel faithfulness, like staying rooted in the gospel, making sure that we're standing firm in Christ and not moving from that. Colossians is gonna go on and say heaps about that.
Yeah.
That you would be rooted in Christ, built up in him. And so that needs to be at the core of what we're about as a church, as a community. So just pursuing gospel faithfulness. And that means, maturity, like growing in that maturity, because that's Paul's goal, to present everyone mature in Christ on that day. And so we want to be growing in maturity as we go along that journey. So kind of gospel faithfulness, also just like passionate about mission. I know that that's like a real feature of North Coast ministry here. Stuff like Winterfest, using those kind of opportunities to proclaim the good news of Jesus.
Yeah.
Really excited about coming on board and helping us as a church be on about that, on about helping other people to share in the joy of the gospel, to hear about the Lord Jesus and his reign over everything. Gospel faithfulness, passionate mission, and then also ministry training. Yeah. I think one of the things that is a feature of Paul's ministry is that he's always passing that on to others. He's always training up co-workers and working alongside people. And so, again, that's like an exciting thing to be doing here at North Coast, to be helping others to grow in their capacity to speak about Jesus, to teach the Bible. To take on responsibilities in praying for people and in leading ministry areas. And so that kind of ministry training is another kind of aspect of ministry here at North Coast that I think is really exciting, and something that if we sow into that, it's going to help us to do that enduring, going on, growing as a church until the return of the Lord.
I hope that's a little bit, I hope it's really encouraging for you and gives you a little bit more of an insight into what Jeff is on about. I also want to point out that we had two Bibles on the table, very spiritual hangout, and that there actually was something in those cups. It wasn't coffee, it was actually water. We started talking and Jeff instantly started choking up. And it wasn't that emotional. He was just like, I need water. And so Henny was like, I have cups. And so we were very excited about that. But think about it. What did he say? Gospel faithfulness, missional sharing of the gospel, and equipping in the gospel. Now, if you've been paying attention, and this was completely unintentionally designed, that sounds a lot like spiritual wisdom and understanding, gospel fruits, and growing in the knowledge of God. It's exactly what we've been looking at in the beginning of Colossians. And so Jeff is passionate about leading us out towards that goal. And as he often says, continuing in that, partnering with us in that. But did you hear how he started? Did you hear how he began to answer my question? It was with the end in mind. And that's exactly what Paul points us to next. The very reason why we can not only patiently endure, but patiently endure with joy. And so as we wrap up this morning, look at verse 12 with me. Look at what he says. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. How can we patiently endure with joy? It is because we are qualified, we are delivered, we are transferred, we are redeemed, we are forgiven. And so I patiently endure with joy because I know what's coming. What's coming? It's an inheritance, the saints in light. That's what's to come. But what about what right now? I can patiently endure with joy because I know what's here. I am transferred from darkness into the kingdom of his Son. I patiently endure with joy. Why? Because I know that none of this is possible if it were not for the redeeming blood of Jesus that forgave my sins and your sins if you simply come to him in faith and ask him to cleanse you of your sins. And this is exactly where we're going to pick up next week, where we'll see more of how the supremacy of Christ, the supremacy of Jesus, is the very thing that sustains and strengthens our joy. But as we wrap up today, let me remind you one more time to look at what God has done and be thankful. And we're going to rejoice in just a second and be thankful. Look at what God has done and be intentional as you align your walk with what? With what pleases the Lord. Look at what God has done and be strengthened according to his glorious might as we patiently endure with joy.